Right, we're in Daniel chapter 9. Actually, we're looking at the response, Daniel's vision in chapter 9, with 3 points so far, and actually that covers the whole chapter. But what I want to do this morning, at least start out, is to give you a review. I'd like to finish chapter 9 and maybe get into chapter 10. I debated whether to print these up or just have you copy them. And it might be good for you just to copy them down. You don't have to copy all the points underneath, but at least to look at them. In verse 24, Daniel tells that there's 70 weeks are determined for your people. Now, I want you to underline that in your Bible, because that's very important. This has to do with Israel, all right? Not the church, but for Israel, your people. Although we are the beneficiaries of the work of Christ and the cross, this chapter deals with the nation Israel. Actually, the book of Daniel deals with the nation Israel, apart from that which we talked about in the times of the Gentiles. But there are six things in verse 24 that he's going to accomplish in that. And that is to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. You don't have to jot those all down. But they're listed right there, and to seal up the vision and prophecies and anoint the Holy of Holies. Those six things deal with the nation Israel. The first three, well, all of them, I shouldn't say just the first three, they all will become a reality for the nation Israel when Christ returns the second time. They are not a reality for the nation Israel today. For you and I, the first three become a reality. You see, we have the transgression, as far as God is concerned, on our part, was taken care of on the cross. He's made an end of sins on the cross for us. And he's made reconciliation for us. Now, the last three has to do with the kingdom. But all six of them will become a reality for the nation Israel when they accept Christ as their Messiah. This has to do with the nation Israel. I really don't even like to bring the church in or you and I in these things, because this has to do with Israel. Again, notice that in verse, let me get back there. I don't have it open yet. Just hold on. In verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. That's why you have to underline that. Thy people. And on thy city. Holy city. So this has to do with the Jews, all right? The cross has made all these things possible. Now, this is a promise to the people of Israel. This is a national promise. This does not deal with individuals. It deals with the nation. If you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. I'm going to turn over to Romans chapter 11. Because this has to do with that. Romans 11, verse 25 through 27. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Now remember that Paul is writing to Gentiles, but he's dealing with the nation Israel in 9, 10, and 11. And he's writing, and he says, I would not have you ignorant that of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Now, what he's saying is there are still Jews being saved. All right? Blindness has happened in part. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentiles become in. And so shall all Israel be saved. When is that going to happen? Well, that happens when Christ returns the second time. That's when these things become a reality, these six things. And all Israel shall be saved. That is written, thou shalt come out of Zion, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob and from him. For this is my covenant unto them, that I will take away their sins. So that all has to do with the nation Israel. Are there any questions? I want you to be sure you understand that. Write in your notes somewhere or on your page in the Bible. This has to do with Israel, not individuals, not with the church. Now, verse 25, Do you want me to hold this a little bit, or are you still copying? I'll hold it for a minute. I was going to run these off, but sometimes it's better to write them down yourself, and you have a better chance of memorizing them and having them. All right, can I move on? All right, verse 25 then sets the starting point. When does this all start? 70 weeks are determined on Israel, all right? Verse 25 sets the starting point. Therefore, understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Now, we saw that. That's Artaxerxes' decree, his second decree, that allows Israel to go back, the Jews to return from the Babylonian captivity and to go back into the land and to build the, rebuild the city and the temple. That's the starting point. Verse 26 sets the events of the next 62 weeks of Daniel's prophecy. Verse 25, the first 7 weeks. They go back, they rebuild the temple, the city and the walls. Verse 26, the events, which many of these things are now are history. These things are all history as far as Daniel is concerned, not and for us. Now I want you to note and underline after. Now this necessitates, listen to me, this necessitates a gap between verse 26 and verse 27. After the 62 weeks, after the 7 weeks, the 62 weeks, then after that, so there's a gap between the 69th week and the 70th week. That is necessary. What happened in between is recorded here in verse 26. First of all, the Messiah will be cut off. Now, we know that refers to his death. The second thing is that the prince to come, of course, talking about the Antichrist, and it's the people of the prince to come. The Romans, the prince to come, will rule or have established rule over the Roman Empire, the revived Roman Empire. So the prince to come, the people of the prince to come, under Titus, entered into the city in 70 AD and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple. That's the third point. Desolations are determined. Notice what it says. The fourth thing. Get to it. And the end of it shall be with a flood, and the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now what that means is that during this period, during this gap, there is going to be a desolator. There is going to be constant persecution of the Jews. Now, over these several thousand years, that has literally happened. The Jews are still being persecuted. Israel will continue under Gentile domination. And the plan is to annihilate the Jews. That's what the Gentiles would like to do. The Gentile world is being governed by the god of this world, Satan, and his plan is to annihilate the Jews so God cannot fulfill his promise to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to David, that there would be a throne forever and a land forever, a king forever. Now, when we get to verse 27, verse 27 looks into the future, all right? It deals with the seven years, the last week. Four things are going to happen in that last week. Now, again, there has to be a gap between the 69th and 70th in order to fulfill these four things that we just looked at. All right? In 26. The Messiah cut off, the people of the prince to come, that's Romans under Titus, destroy the city and the temple, and the desolations determined, that is, upon the nation Israel, that the desolations will still continue upon that nation. Now, are there any questions? You have to understand that if you're going to understand Bible prophecy. That's very, very important. And if you understand that, you sort of have the key to the book of Daniel. You have the key to prophecy. Not just to the book of Daniel. Daniel's setting it forth for us and making it so clear for us, I believe. Now, you understand some people do not see that gap between the 69th week and the 70th week. But there has to be a gap. Because the 69th week, or those 62 weeks, do not include the death of Jesus Christ. It's after the 62 weeks that the death of Christ comes. So it necessitates that there has to be a gap. Do you understand that? Very, very important. Yes. No. The gap comes between after the 69th week. There's 7 weeks to determine. That's when the city's rebuilt, all right? And then there is 62 weeks determined. At the end of those 62 weeks, now that is a total of 69 weeks. At the end of those 69 weeks, there has to be a gap. That's why he writes the word after in here, because it's after those 69 weeks, then something else is going to happen. Then he's going to pick up the 70th week again. In verse 27. So there has to be a gap between that. That gap is where we're living. It's the church age, basically, the age of grace. The age of grace doesn't begin until Acts chapter 2, but the transition from the death of Christ after he's cut off, the 50 days, is all included in that. He doesn't reveal that because the church was not revealed in the Old Testament. The church is a mystery. Do not, please, do not put the church in the Old Testament. Now he's going to do in the 70th week, all right? In that last week, that's the great, that's the tribulation period. Now the tribulation period is divided into two parts. We call the tribulation is 7 years. The Great Tribulation begins at the middle of the tribulation, after 3.5 years. Then the Antichrist will establish himself, try to establish himself as God. He sits in the temple as if he were God. And then the abomination of desolation has begun. And then Christ instructed Israel to do what? To flee to the mountains, because it's coming. He's out to destroy the nation Israel. Well, in that 70th week, then he will confirm the covenant. Now that's in the middle of the tribulation. I'm sorry, at the beginning of the tribulation. And he shall, that is the prince to come, that is the Antichrist, will establish a covenant with Israel. Actually, it says with many, and I mentioned to you last week that many may refer to the leaders, with many leaders. And I sort of think and believe that not refer just to the nation Israel, but to all the leaders of the world, that he's going to establish this covenant. The second thing that he's going to do, he will cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Now that is that's when the middle of the tribulation begins, all right? Are you with me? Any questions? Now, last week we saw the overspreading, or we began to look at this, the overspreading of the abomination and will make desolate. And I'd like to break that down for you. I don't have it broken down in my notes. I don't think I did that. No, I didn't do that. But you can do this in your notes. So you want to write these things down. There are several words here that you want to look. The word for, notice what he says. for the overspreading of the abominations. All right, the word for literally means upon. That's the Hebrew, upon. The word overspreading is an interesting word. It's hard for us to grasp a hold of this, but it literally means wing, like the wing of a bird. As a matter of fact, this word is used in the Old Testament. Do you remember the cherubim had their wings spread over the Ark of the Covenant? That's the same word that's used here, wing. It's plural back there, but here it's wing, singular. Upon, wing. All right. Abominations are detestable things. There are things that are vile. It's used of vile idols. The word desolate, it's a participle here, and it really could be translated, that desolates. That desolates. Now, if I can put it all together for you, do you have it? For is upon. Overspreading is the word wing. Abominations are detested things. Desolate is a participle. It means the desolator. It can be translated that way. Now, the NIV, if you have an NIV, here's how it's translated. On the wing of the temple, he will set up abominations that will cause desolation. Now, if you have an NIV, that's how it's translated. Now, the word temple is not found here. They insert it to make sense. And we understand this because we have other passages of Scripture that we can look at. But what he does is he stops the sacrifices in the temple. And he goes into the temple himself and he sits in the Holy of Holies. He commits an abomination. And what he does is he defiles the whole thing. And this overspreading, it's like wings, the wings of the temple. It just goes out over the whole temple. The wing of the temple. There's another translation. I prefer this, I guess. I think the word wing here probably is a figure of speech. And I look at it like this. It portrays the Antichrist descending upon the temple like a vulture. See, upon wing, he comes upon the temple and he spreads his vileness on the temple. Now, it doesn't matter what interpretation you take. They're all clear, I think. They all tell us that he is going to go into the temple and he's going to establish it. Let me take you to a few verses. Will you turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Antichrist will commit a vile act that causes the temple to be an abomination. Chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Who, this is referring to the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple. He comes into the temple, showing himself that he is God. He wants to be God. He wants to be like God. Does that remind you of Isaiah 28? Ezekiel 14, where it talks about Satan who will be like God. I will be like him. It's his desire. The Antichrist is Satan's man for that hour. Turn to Revelation chapter 13, verse 5. Revelation 13, 5. Talking about the overspreading of the abomination that will make desolate. Revelation 13, 5 says, and there was given unto him, that is the Antichrist, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That deals with the last half of the tribulation period. The first 3.5 years are relative peace. All right? Relatively. There are still wars and rumors of wars and things are going on, but they're basically, there's not a lot happening, at least not in Jerusalem. Now he's come to Jerusalem and he establishes himself, and in 42 months he causes all this to happen. This is the last 42 months, the last 3.5 years. Now turn back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. Matthew 24, 15. This all fits together. Matthew 24, 15 says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation," that's what this is, the overspreading of the abomination that will make desolate. This is the third point. This is when he enters into the Holy of Holies and establishes himself, thinks he's God. "And therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place." And he tells them to flee and go into the mountains. This is the mark of the beginning of the great tribulation, that is the last 3.5 years. Any questions? Fourth point of the things that will happen in that 70th week. The fourth point is that determined will be poured out upon the desolator. That determined will be poured out upon the desolator. Actually, the word, what does it have? Poured upon the desolate. That, again, is a participle and refers to a person, not a thing. This is the desolator. This is the Antichrist. This means that God has determined his end. He reveals that he's going to stop him, and it'll happen quickly. If you read the book of Revelation, you see some of the things that are going to happen in that period of time. You have the war and the famine and death and anarchy going on, and the trumpet shall sound in Revelation 8 and 9. And hail and fire and the sea will turn to blood, and stars will fall to the earth, and darkness and locusts and war, more war. And then there's the war of Revelation 16. I'm sorry, the bowels of war in Revelation 16. And yet with all of this, the Antichrist still does not learn his lesson. He makes war against God's people and against the true Messiah, Christ. And it's at this point, Israel stands in a point of repentance. They're coming to realize that there is no hope. The only hope they have is in the Messiah. But for the desolator, the Messiah is going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He comes back as a conqueror. He comes back as a man of war. And he will take the Antichrist and he will thrust him into the bottomless pit. That's the final thing that's determined upon him. It's at this point, let me back up quickly. It's at this point that those last three things will become a reality for the nation Israel. Well, actually all six of them. When that desolator is desolated, then these things will become a reality for the nation Israel. Now, I have about 1 minute. Just bear with me. What you have in the Scriptures is, or in these Scriptures, have to do with the nation Israel. I can't emphasize that for you. It has nothing to do with the church. The church was a mystery. Write in your notes Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, because there's Paul's introduction to this mystery. It was revealed to him. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Now, real quick, will you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Because I want you to see that God looks at humanity and he sees three groups. He sees the Jew, he sees the Gentile, and he sees the church. Those are three unique entities. Look what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. There are three distinct groups. The church was not revealed. What we are studying in the book of Daniel has to do with the nation Israel and Israel alone. Now the events in verse 26 are history. They're over. Except for number 4, that is a continuing reality for the nation Israel. The next major event that deals with the nation Israel is verse 27. The last 7 years, the Great Tribulation period. Now, are there any questions? I have to stop there. We'll pick up chapter 10 next week. Any questions? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 32. Verse 32. 1 Corinthians 10, 32. Three unique groups of people. The church, of course, is made up of believing Jews and Gentiles. But God looks at all humanity and he sees these three groups of people. Jew, Gentile, church. Any other questions? Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for this time. Pray that you would open our minds to see the tremendous promises that you've given to us. We see the future, Father. We understand what's going to happen. We look forward to our blessed hope of the return of Jesus Christ for us, and then the beginning of that last week, that 70th week. So, Father, we just ask you to direct us now in our lives that we might honor and glorify you, and we'll thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.